Well, hi folks, this is Christian welcoming you to another edition of the Ice Age Farmer Podcast. It's Saturday, October 21st, 2017, and this is episode 18 of the podcast. We got a lot of ground to cover today, folks, so I'm going to hop right in. As we start with images of the flooding in Zamboanga and a severe downspout here in Brazil, we'll be looking at a few more grand solar minimum related headlines before we start exploring the daily steps that people in the Ice Age farmer community are taking to bring themselves and their families closer to self-sufficiency, making themselves more resilient. We'll review those and share progress. As well, I'd like to get back to some viewer feedback, some answers to a video about open questions that I'd posted, a question both about bubbles and spirulina, and how to construct vertical towers for aquaponics and hydroponics. Got some great feedback on both of these questions, which makes me very excited because it just shows that we have such a diverse and talented and intelligent group here on this show. I'm just thrilled to be speaking with you all and honored to have your attention. And so I'd like to share some of your own thoughts back with you and let you know what I found out when I posted that video. I want to take a quick look at the nutrient collapse, which is something, having already posted a video today about the pollinators disappearing, I wanted to also briefly mention that as CO2 rises, there are effects on the levels of nutrition in our food. And so we'll explore that a bit here. All right, let's dig deeper into this news section. Starting with the GSM rain tag, which indicates extreme amounts of rainfall thanks to the increased galactic cosmic rays entering our atmosphere and causing these atmospheric compression events and just flooding as a result of ridiculous amounts. I mean, we keep seeing unprecedented amounts of record, monthly records falling in a single day, causing these flash flood events. This one in Negros. And then as well, we'll see that Trinidad and Tobago are completely underwater right now with no end of sight. There's more precipitation coming there for the next week to come. So they are in a world of hurt as well in Queensland, and specifically with respect to the crops and the foods, the interruptions to food supply, as well as the grid being down because of the storm. We're seeing record rain there across the region as well. This amount of water falling is not something to mess with, folks, and the weather patterns are disrupted, so there's really no saying where this flood might end up, and it's just good to be aware. Moving on. On the heels of Ophelia, not to be outdone, and actually much stronger, Storm Brian is reaching Ireland and UK, and at the same time right now, now Super Typhoon Lan is headed straight for Tokyo with a 50-mile eye, which is pretty wild. This also indicates that there will be extremely violent winds, something that actually Adapt 2030 has been talking about lately, as well as absurd amounts of precipitation, which we were just talking about. That's going to cause some flooding. On the GSM volcano, volcanic activity picking up indeed. Checking a look at the volcanic activity report for this past week. New activity was reported for 6 volcanoes over that week. And during that same period, ongoing activity continued for an additional 16. As well, Tinakulu just blew its top, launching ash up 35,000 feet over the Solomon Islands. It's probably also worth mentioning here that the hole persists in Antarctica's ice, indicating continuing underwater volcanic activity there, at least in my opinion. Moving on to the GSM sick hashtag, which is probably increasingly the least pleasant one to partake in, and I'm going to spare us the images and the videos here. Pneumonic plague definitely spreading throughout Madagascar, that is taking off there, and then unfortunately we're also now seeing it in Africa. As well, in California, this hepatitis A outbreak is getting kind of out of control. I mean, that is the nature of an epidemic, but it's just worth bringing some attention to. I'm not going to bring any of the photos in here. Just be aware that there are already diseases which are thought to be well understood and well controlled, and they are spreading at rates that are alarming. Keeping an eye on the predictions that come out of the establishment media, we see here that they are predicting that the UK is now facing months of snow, that the will be the coldest winter. We're entering the coldest winter there since the Great Freeze of 2010, and that they simply won't be able to dodge, as they have in the past few winters, the polar vortex that's been, for whatever reason, mostly focused on the United States. United States, on the other hand, North America, in this prediction, we'll call it, it indicates that it's going to be a mostly, you know, a pretty bad winter up north, but then pretty mild otherwise, unless La Niña hits, in which case it's going to be especially cold. Are you ready? So I don't know if that's a little bit of a, like, sort of poking fun at us. It's going to be fine, unless it's not. Better get prepared. But definitely some mixed messages there from... I did just post a video alert covering this new study that came out just days ago, indicating that 75 to 80% of the insect biomass has disappeared over the last couple decades. Note that this is a logarithmic scale, so that's an exponential drop-off in the ecosystem. And I won't rehash that here, but it's worth watching. Because our agriculture very much depends on these pollinators. So keeping an eye on their livelihood, and again, on how well plants grow at different levels of CO2. We'll talk about that in the last segment here, the nutrient collapse. And then finally, I wanted to just mention that I think global cooling is actually going mainstream. You know, with the rise of Trump and whatever you want to call it, that whole populist, quasi-populist, I mean, it's definitely scripted, but it is a quasi-populist sort of uprising about global warming being a fraud. But now we're actually seeing the not just that there was a fraud, but the opposite, that we are indeed cooling. That idea itself is reaching the mainstream consciousness. And I wanted to just point out that Martin Armstrong, who's an economist, has actually even figured this out and is talking about this openly. So this idea is actively now spreading through the memosphere, right? The collective consciousness. And I want to celebrate that, because I do think it is due in no small part to our hard work researching this, talking about it, spreading the word. And I mean that for all of you who are watching and speaking and doing your part to spread the word as well. So well done, folks. I think we're making some progress here. The flip side of that is that I also think we could expect, between the Uranium-1 scandal breaking open and global cooling now going mainstream, as I just described, plus a whole host of other factors like the rising populism, the crashing economy, I would insert here a brief advisement that I think it is a major event, anthropogenic event, very well could be coming to disrupt our progress. And so I would further advise that you increase your awareness and your level of preparations and, you know, as always, be preparing and planning and hoping for that long-term soft landing, best case, but be ready for the worst case. And with that, let's go ahead and move on to the daily steps. All right, in the daily steps segment, we like to highlight progress that members in the Ice Age Farmer community, fellow Ice Age farmers out and about, are making, steps that they are taking on a daily basis to bring themselves and their families closer to self-sufficiency. You never quite get there, so there's always, I promise, there's always something you can do today to make sure that you are better positioned tomorrow. I'm honored and thrilled to share some notes from a couple of very awesome Ice Age farmers today. I find these two individuals very inspirational, and I know you will as well. We're in good company here, folks. First, Becky from Georgia writes, "I'm a farmer's daughter. I'm nearly 60 years old. It intrigues me to follow our agriculture. I've hobby farmed and prepared dry food for many years. We live in Augusta, Georgia. I pray to God for mercy." Me too. Amen. "Our town is already inundated with military imports, so many more people than usual. So I've kicked it into high gear. We're on 2 acres. We've been here 30 years. I have several grow beds and am creating more. I'm having wood chips delivered to the back pasture for years now for the Back to Eden method, which is a documentary and a method. I've just created a hugel culture bed, and I'm going to let that cook for a year. I tore down an old lean-to, repositioned it into another area where I could close it off if it needed to be made into a southern exposure greenhouse. In its place, I'm installing a true greenhouse. I've also acquired some cold frames. I'm experimenting with canning jar hydroponics and getting ready to my first float container using the Kratky system. I've heard of that. I need to check it out again. I'm collecting grow lights for now and possibly for future indoor growing needs. Years ago, I acquired two very large water storage containers. We installed rain diverters everywhere where it made sense, and I have a water barrel and trash can collection system on the barns and house. That's a great way to get and store some water. Roughly 16 trash can rain barrels, wow. Half of them I keep with fresh water and half with rain. Anything outside, we had to fashion fencing for everything because of the deer and the rabbits and the squirrels. I have planted some perennial food crops that come up every year, including miner's lettuce. You inspire me tremendously. Daily, I do something to improve our position. I gingerly try to make my children more aware. I scribble website addresses and contacts on little slips of paper and hand them out at Lowe's to friends or people I care about, hoping that they'll somehow share the word. I have begged for people to learn to put something in the ground successfully and grow it through harvest. I've begged for years for people to be more proactive about their food security. It's common to hear, well, if there's a crisis, I'll put in a garden. I tell them there's a 3-year learning curve, and if it's the right time of year, you might be able to get a radish to come up within 30 days, but that's about it. We sprout, that might be a lifesaver. I spoke at a preparedness gathering at a little health food store, and I told people if you did not have their health in order and you were not off those medications that you need right now, then you learn to eat foods to get rid of those conditions, then you will indeed be the first ones to go. I didn't know what else to say. They take it so casually, as if the support systems and everything we have now is going to remain available forever. Forgive me for going on and on, but these are the things that I've been doing. No, I don't think you've been going on and on at all. I think these are wonderful illustrations of what an individual who's moving towards an increasingly prepared position looks like. Especially, and I love the fact that you've included this, I stress the spreading the word part. Going to Lowe's with little pieces of paper and handing them out is really... that's awesome. That's one of the more direct actions and sort of a brave, you know, it takes some guts to just go stand there and talk to people. I've done that just to get a feel for it because I don't want to tell people to go do something unless I know what it feels like. And that takes, you know, you gotta be comfortable with yourself to just walk up and say, hey, what do you know about the sun, solar cycles? Everything you know about climate change is wrong is a nice way to piss someone off. There are different ways to approach those conversations. And in fact, there are as many different ways to approach those conversations as there are people in the world. And that's why I trust that you are doing whatever your style is right now, because all of our styles are different. But baby, it takes all of us to get this done. And we are all in this together. So thanks for doing your part, Becky. That's really awesome, and keep it up. I'm thrilled to hear from you. I'm also thrilled to hear from Adam from Poland, who writes, Ice Age Farmer Poland, my name is Adam. I am from Poland. I live in Wrocław. I am aware of what is going on with the climate for about 3 years now. I'm already preparing for about a year, seriously. As you know, the system we live in is designed so we never have enough savings that we can go shopping and buy everything we need, quote unquote. So I'm not even halfway there. But I guess I have the most important things, which would be, he lists, water filter, solar, battery packs, Tesla wall power style. I'd like to know where you got Tesla power wall battery packs, storage of long-term foods and some water, cheap clothes for myself and my family, vacuum packed and stored. The military has really good quality, almost for free. Man, I wish that were true here. I bought and printed many books with needed knowledge, like edible plants, pests, herbs near me, etc. That's great reference material to have on hand. And if the internet goes down or the grid is down and you can't get it online, that's why you're going to print it off. I'm also experimenting with Faraday cages for the next X1 fair, which he indicates in his beliefs will be arriving December through February 2018. So a couple more months to get prepared with your Faraday cages in his expectations. He's also looking for land near mountains, making a gun license, and constantly struggling to wake up the sheeple. It is hard, he indicates, but I try. They are lazy, blinded. They even are not convinced after I predict weather 2 to 3 weeks ahead in written, based on the sun and the jet stream. But I'm far from the master of the method, the master of weather prediction, in Adam's opinion, is Pierce, which he, take it or leave it. Basically, because of my situation, Adam concludes, location and conditions, I decided first to store the food, equipment, books, clothes, and educate myself as much as I can. The reason being, when problems happen, I don't want to have to spend more for those goods or have shortages. I hope that was a good option. I think obviously it was, Adam. I think those all sound, again, like awesome steps. And especially, I loved sharing both of these daily steps messages because they both included that, as he called it, the constant struggle to wake up the sheeple. And it is hard. It is hard. I think, as I said, it takes real guts to have those conversations. And you're talking to people who are, who are all under a chemical attack, and we're absolutely constantly being deluged with ideas that preclude. They don't just tell us that there's global, you know, warming. They preclude us from getting to the truth, and they actively work against us. So the mass of people are in a very brainwashed state. And I feel, you know, when you think about it and put yourself back in their shoes, it's possible to feel sorry for them. And I think that's a better way, a better state than being mad at their perpetual naivete. Spread the word, folks. Personally, on my daily steps, I'll be honest, I'm recovering from the wildfires that were no less than 30 meters from our back door. Just to look out and see massive burn marks and realize that this is, I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to why our home is still here and other folks has lost theirs. So it's a sobering thought. It also gave me an exercise to, you have 15 minutes to evacuate your home exercise. So if you haven't done that one, and I don't like it because it sucks, right? It's a hard thing to do. I avoided doing this exercise of, okay, let's just pretend that we just got evacuated. We just got the word that there's a fire or a disease or whatever is going on. And you've got X minutes to get out of your home. Do you have your important papers copied and ready in a bucket somewhere in your grab and go? Do you have water and food, just some, you know, something to take with you as you leave, and maybe a spare set of clothes? What is in that package and where you put it, that is up to you. But I do encourage you to go through that exercise. And I, like I said, it sucks. I'm also looking for a new home, and I think that probably merits an episode to itself or a video or something, just because one of the most, if not the most common question that I get is, I live here, am I going to be safe? Or alternatively, where is safe to live in the Grand Solar Minimum? And that's a big question. And there's a lot of, it's a fuzzy function with a lot of inputs, and a lot depends on your lifestyle and what skills you have and what you know, what you're comfortable with. I think, unfortunately, the biggest predictor of safety, given that they are going to be a lot of hungry people. As we know, hungry people are dangerous. And a lot of hungry people are very dangerous. And so proximity to hungry people is pretty much at the top of my list for things to avoid. I think that is the biggest risk, is being near hordes of angry, hungry people. I hope that that doesn't happen. But history shows that when when the food supply suffers, so do the people. Obviously, right? Starving people aren't fun to be around. History also shows that when we go through these solar patterns, that we do see massive civil insurrections and famines and violence. And so I think hordes of hungry people are to be avoided, and that's number one. And like I said, this question, the strategic relocation in the grand solar minimum question, is a big one. And it's one that I'm still working through right now because it's just huge. So that's dominating a lot of my time and mind right now. And that is also why I have so much respect for and celebrate so loudly folks who have moved past that, or who are just now picking up properties and making that plunge, because it is just like bust open your life. If you if you don't already live in that kind of a situation, you really just have to bust open your life and change everything. And it's uncomfortable and it hurts. What are you doing today to make sure that you and your family are better prepared, better positioned tomorrow? Given all the things that we see challenging modern agriculture, the increasing CO2, depleting the nutrients in the crops, the demise of flying insects and pollinators, the erosion of the growing season by late frosts and early winter onsets because of the changing climate, all of these things they're not even chipping away. They have vastly eroded and in some cases completely wiped out. The flooding, the storms, everything we talk about on these shows is destroying agriculture. What steps are you taking today to make sure that you can weather the storm? All right, with that, let's get to the viewer feedback segment. I posted a video called Open Questions, which contained two questions that I had. One was related to spirulina and a ton of bubbles that were appearing in my culture. And the second question, actually, I'll get to that in a second. I got some great answers from many algae farmers in the community. And I'm so thrilled to know that you're out there and watching this show. And I'm also pleased to share with you that there was en masse agreement between these algae farmers that the bubbles were a symptom of too much aeration. So too many bubbles on the surface of your spirulina means that you've got too many polysaccharides. Basically, you're overbubbling your tank and possibly breaking open the individual spirals, the individual spirulina, which releases the sugars inside them and causes fermentation in your culture, all sorts of weirdness. I've dropped a link in the show notes below, so if you can read more deeply about this if you'd like. But I just wanted to thank those algae farmers for their feedback there. You can decrease the airflow. I had just, before posting that question and having this issue, I had just switched to an air pump that turns out to be much more effective. And so indeed, I was putting more air through my spirulina culture, and I think that was resulting in the bubbles. So I dropped back to the less effective air pump, which still works perfectly. It just doesn't have as much throughput. And that's working better. That has decreased the foam on top of the culture. The second question that I posted was how to make vertical towers. And I got some feedback, a few notes, thanks for all of them, but specifically from SJS Blacksmith, gave me a great feedback. The first thing I wanted to note was someone else said you need to use thinner PVC. You're using Schedule 40, which is fat. You should be using Schedule 80. That'd be a lot easier to work with. That's a great tip. Thanks for that one. And then SJS Blacksmith responded with some great information here. I think part of the difference was you were using a heat gun and he was using a small torch. You get more heat and a more focused heat out of a torch in general. I also think a torch should let you be able to fire polish the edges of the cuts like you would do while working with glass. It also looks like you had a coarser cut saw that you were making your slits with, which left a rougher cut. I would be tempted to use a power miter saw or a circular saw to cut those slits. You could set up a wooden jig to cut just the right depth with the circular saw safely. The width of the kerf of the larger saw blade would give you a wider opening to work with as well. He was also using a wedged mandrel to open up the holes. Hopefully that helps. Don't be afraid to play the heat across that PVC with the mandrel in place to get the shape and depth of a cup you want. And when he says he there, he's referring to the video that I referenced of someone who was using a little mandrel and a torch, apparently not a heat gun, to construct some vertical towers out of PVC, out of Schedule 80 PVC. So thanks, SJS Blacksmith, for that expert advice. Great eye there. I appreciate all those thoughts. All right, with that, let's move on to this nutrient collapse. I've mentioned this a couple times already today, and already having mentioned and posted a video, in fact, of the insects, the flying insects, the pollinators disappearing en masse, let's explore now also another issue that faces agriculture moving forward, and that is that increased CO2 has been demonstrated to produce plants that have less nutrients in them, in fact, are less protein-rich. So too would we expect that to, and we've mentioned this part before, we knew that the decrease in energy from the sun would result in just worse growth in general. The plants would be, crops would be less resistant to disease, and they would have less protein content. But this study also indicates that increasing CO2, which some folks had been suggesting would be one way we could possibly increase yield from our greenhouses, right? It would be supplemental CO2, get the plants to grow more quickly. That is correct. However, it turns out that growth comes at the cost of the plant containing nutrition, which is why we're growing it in the first place, to eat it and benefit from that nutrient. So this is not a best idea. We prefer nutritious food, even if it takes longer to grow it. The other thought here is that we are hitting 410 parts per million of atmospheric CO2 right now. It has been rising, at least according to the establishment, and I don't want to get too far into this because, of course, most of the people who are covering this are talking about it from a climate change, anthropogenic, killing the world kind of a perspective. But nonetheless, the fact remains that increasing CO2 does produce less nutritious plants. And without speaking to where the CO2 levels are going thereafter, whether it's a trailing indicator, I think it is, this does affect us already. CO2 levels are already significantly higher than they used to be. And so it stands to reason that our food is less nutritious than it used to be. And in fact, that's the case. And with that, this has been episode 18 of the Ice Age Farmer podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show and learned something. If you did, please share the word. Check out the wiki at wiki.iceagefarmer.com and share your knowledge there. Go ahead and add whatever it is you've been experimenting with or learning or your expertise from years of whatever it is you've happened to do. Go ahead and contribute. Let me know what you're up to, what daily steps you're taking. And if you'd like, feel free to support me on patreon.com/iceagefarmer. Until next time, we will be mapping a path forward to prosperity, building self-sufficient, resilient communities, and sharing knowledge in the grand solar minimum. Let's go do great things, folks.